Welcome to the Frictionless Innkeeper podcast series. Our show is brought to you by the Frictionless Guest app, which allows innkeepers to provide guests with their recommendations of the best local places to eat, play, and shop during their stay. The Frictionless Guest app is accessible through all mobile and desktop devices, and you can learn more about it by visiting frictionlessguest.com. Once again, that's frictionlessguest.com. I'm Matt Langan, and I'll be joined by Steve Short, the founder and CEO of the Frictionless Guest app. And today we're speaking with Kent Schnepp, CEO of Odysys, which offers a software as a service marketing and technology platform that helps innkeepers and independent hotels to significantly reduce their guest acquisition costs. And for this episode, Kent will be discussing how innkeepers can develop the right strategies for helping to ramp up their businesses as the COVID-19 pandemic winds down. And Kent and Steve, how are you both doing today?
Doing great, Matt. Thanks for having me today. I appreciate it.
Excellent. Great to have you. Steve, how you doing?
Doing great as always. Thanks. And thanks, Kent, for being on. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, great. Steve.
Awesome. Great to have both of you here. And Kent, let's kick it over to you. Let's start this off with a high-level overview of Odysys. Tell us about your offerings for innkeepers and independent hoteliers.
Yeah, certainly. Matt, I think you covered it pretty well, but to summarize, Odysys is a digital marketing platform for inns, bed and breakfasts, and small hotels. And what do I mean by a digital marketing platform? Well, it's essentially a performance dashboard where you can track all of your analytics and your metrics. It's a website builder, search engine optimization, a suite of digital marketing tools, analytics, and then we also offer professional services in the form of advertising, things like Google Ads and Bing Ads. And we have a product called Reservation Recapture to help capture lost reservations. So it's pretty much everything an innkeeper needs to generate more occupancy and be less reliant on online travel agencies.
That's awesome. That's a great setup there for really the core of the discussion today is really going to be all about digital marketing strategies that innkeepers should consider, because it seems like this COVID-19 pandemic is starting to wind down, which is a great thing. And would just love to open that discussion up to really both of you all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Steve, I bet you're in the same boat as me, probably getting a little stir crazy. And you're probably, just like a lot of our customers, starting to think about, what can you do when this crisis is over? And I am 100% confident that this situation will pass. And my concern right now, especially for our customers and the industry as a whole, is that the industry is in a place where they're not behind the eight ball when travel starts to pick back up. And so a lot of these podcasts or the content that we're creating over at Odysys is really geared towards what are the things that innkeepers can do right now to put themselves in the best position possible once this situation inevitably ends? And so I think that's what we're going to cover, for the most part today. And I kind of think of it as being broken down into three key areas. Certainly foundational marketing. So that's things like understanding your ideal guest, making sure your website tells your story, marketing your destination first and your property second. So that's kind of bucket number one. Bucket number two is co-marketing strategies. I mean, looking around at where I live, I can see how local independent businesses are really just getting hammered by this situation. And I think that actually presents an opportunity for our industry as a whole. And so we can talk about that a little bit more. And then the last one is really kind of looking at what are some skills that you can take the time to learn right now. And those skills could be things like learning how to do something specifically or learning how to better use the tool set that you currently have or you need to have. And since we do have, innkeepers right now, it's a little bit of a downtime for them. They're not so focused on the guest experience. What are some things that they could be doing right now to learn new skills that are ultimately going to improve their business when business does start to pick back up? And so those are the three topics I had top of mind. How about you, Steve?
Well, Kent, you're the marketing expert, so I definitely would defer to you. I mean, those all seem really reasonable to me. And I think when we talked a little bit yesterday, you basically said a couple things that hit me. You said you got to go back to basics in general, and you can't market your way out of this. I think those are really good observations, and maybe you can explain why you said those.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the fact of the matter is people just aren't traveling right now. And there's certainly very, very little leisure travel going on. And business travel has come to a halt for the most part. And I think given, you know, whatever the regulations are in your state, you know, obviously there's a lot of barriers to entry for trying to attract new guests or any guests for that matter. I mean, half of our customers, probably more than half, I would say maybe 80%, are really just fully closed right now. And there's nothing they can do about that. People just aren't traveling. There aren't the options out there. And so when I say something like you can't market your way out of this, I don't see how you could. I mean, there's certainly things that you can be doing right now that are, for lack of a good term, building equity in your marketing strategies. But to say that, you know, there's some silver bullet out there that we can run some type of a campaign and that's automatically going to provide you with, you know, new reservations and new revenue, I just don't think it exists right now. But I do think that we are starting to see indicators that businesses are going to open up. I know, for example, we have quite a few customers in Texas, and they're starting to unpause some of their advertising campaigns and do things like that. So we are seeing some indication that things are tapering off and there's movement in the right direction. But for the most part, I think with anybody who's affected in a location where it is completely closed down right now, there's just nothing you can do. So at that point, I think the shift should be on your, you know, getting back to basics and your foundational marketing strategies. And so the first thing I think about when I think about sort of foundational stuff is really, really basic. And that's understanding your ideal guest, right? We talk to a lot of our customers when they come to us, or just even conversations in the industry as a whole. A lot of innkeepers, they don't really think about who their ideal customer is. And they maybe say some type of a blanket statement like, hey, you know what? I just want to get the highest amount of occupancy as possible and generate the most revenue. But when you really dig into that, that doesn't really work for a lot of the types of properties that we work with. And I think any business should be challenged to truly understand who their ideal customer is or who their ideal guest is. Are you primarily geared towards retired couples who are empty nesters, who have a decent income stream or decent savings? They like to travel. They're very into the food scene, the wine scene, exploring art museums, or are you focused on solo travelers, millennial solo travelers who are visiting your destination because of the local activities like the hiking or cycling or skiing or something along those lines? And in my opinion, I think that the typical property has no more than three ideal guest personas. And a persona is just a description of what your ideal guests are. Usually it's a lot of times it's less than that. So, you know, what I typically advise our customers to do is really take a hard look, look at your books, look at your repeat customers, look at the customers who left you positive reviews, look at the customers who you connected with when they stayed at your property, and try to make a list of what their attributes are, right? What are they doing? Are they coming from out of state? Are they in state? Are they international travelers? Do they have a specific demographic that seems to fit with most of them? Really understanding what that ideal customer looks like is the key to all foundational marketing. And what I mean by that when I say it's the key to all foundational marketing is, what are the things that attracted them to your property? So what do you have in common? And how do you leverage that information across all of your digital marketing strategies? So that could be everything from the photography on your website to the messaging you use, the tone of your blog post, the tone of the copy on your website, right? That type of information is really almost kind of back to like brand marketing type stuff, but it is the key pieces to driving all of your digital marketing strategy. So I always like to start with understand who your ideal guests are, and be thinking about that whenever you're making decisions about digital marketing.
So, and I mean, that's great advice anytime. What do you think though, what if one of your, I don't know, one of your two or three personas, you know, one of your ideal guest personas, what if you find that based upon COVID-19, they're less likely to come to you? Do you shift, do you pivot, or do you just market to the other ones? I mean, what does that, in other words, let's say I catered heavily, I'm an innkeeper and I cater heavily to, you know, to overseas travelers, to foreign travelers. But I find out that they're more concerned about coming to the U.S. because of the number of cases or whatever. What do I do? Do I pivot and say, well, I'm going to have to wait that out, just like we're waiting everything out right now, and then market more heavily to maybe the other two personas?
Absolutely. I think so. Or you look for other groups or other demographics that are complementary, right? So international travelers is a great one, right? If international travel is probably not going to come back anytime soon. So, and I really think of this as going to happen in phases, right? We're going to have a stage where regional travel picks back up. And when I say regional travel, I'm going to define that as traveling to a location by automobile or some source like that, not air travel. That's within, you know, let's say a 400 or 500 meter radius, right? I think that's going to be the first thing that picks up. And so if you do understand your ideal guest, it's fairly easy to one, pivot to marketing to the other two groups that you're focused on, or say, let's look at complementary. If we know that international travel, it's mostly retired couples and, you know, they're affluent and they're doing this, that, and the other thing, well, there's probably a segment of the US population that you could be focusing on. And so if you didn't understand who your ideal guest was, it'd be pretty difficult to try to figure out what should I be doing with my digital marketing strategies if I didn't understand who that ideal guest was.
Yeah, definitely makes sense. Yeah. So any other thoughts on kind of the foundational marketing ideas? And I guess part of this too is comes down to timing. So any thoughts on, like, I guess you can do the passive, I guess you'd call the passive marketing stuff, like make sure that your website is, you know, that all the messaging there, that's something you can do now, whether people are visiting or not. Whereas I guess some of the more push type marketing, especially if there's a cost involved, I would think that's a matter of timing. You want to hold off until it makes sense that you feel like the demand is out there and people are looking. Is that right?
Yeah. And I think that's more paid strategies. So that'd be things like running Google Ads or Bing Ads or display media, things like that. But I think the foundational items, once you understand who your ideal customer are, really come down to search engine optimization, local search marketing, email marketing, and content development. Those are the main areas. So search engine optimization, we could talk for a couple of hours at least about that. And we've certainly done our share of podcasts around that particular topic. But, you know, in theory, it's free, right? So you build your website, you optimize your website, Google crawls your website, and then based off of a numerous criteria, they rank you for any specific search term. So say someone's searching for Asheville, North Carolina, bed and breakfast or something like that, right? Well, there's a lot more to it, right? And so we say it's free and it is, but a heck of a lot of work goes into it. And, you know, ultimately nothing's free. So there's blood, sweat, and tears into any website that ranks for a particular search term, especially if it's a competitive search term. But now would be the time to audit what you're currently doing, look at how your website's performing in the organic search results, and look for opportunities to improve those rankings. And in a very simplistic way, I think of search engine optimization as a three-legged stool. Number one is, you know, is your website built the way that it needs to be? Is it fast? Is it accessible to the search engines? Does it check all the boxes on the numerous things that search engines want? So that's leg number one. Leg number two is your on-page optimization. So that's very in the weeds things like title tags, meta descriptions, heading optimization, content optimization, image optimization, internal linking, all of those things. And then number three, which is probably the most relevant to this conversation, is the total number of and the quality of the inbound links to your website. So this is a great opportunity and it kind of goes hand in hand with the content marketing strategy. Right now, innkeepers, hotel marketers, whoever should really be focused on creating a cohesive content calendar and content strategy and producing that content and having it ready once we start to see indicators that this situation is moving in the right direction. So a basic content calendar should include, you know, what are the events in your area, if any, what's the seasonality, what are the topics that are of interest to people. So what cleaning supplies you use is obviously going to be something that's going to stick around for a while and how clean your property is. But creating that cohesive content calendar and then crafting that content and having that content ready to deploy when it's needed. And when I say deploy, just writing a blog post is really not going to help. There's some positives to doing that, certainly. But the key is promoting that content. And so you would write a blog post, you distribute that blog post across social channels and email marketing, and certainly, you know, improve the chances of somebody finding it organically with search engine optimization. But now's a great time to be banking that content, for lack of a better term, and having that content ready to go. So as soon as you see those indicators, you can just pick from your content library, go ahead and post that to your blog post, distribute it across social channels, promote it with email marketing, and you're kind of set up already. So those are the types of activities that we're recommending right now. And certainly creating that content, promoting it is obviously going to help with generating inbound links to your website, which improve your search engine optimization rankings.
Well, and we did a blog post beginning of last week, which was, you know, keep your in top of mind during COVID-19. And it was just examples of various inns and, you know, boutique hotel brands or hotels that were doing this sort of thing. And it was, I mean, you don't want to put fluff out there, but I think people were sitting at home and they're longing for taking that trip now. And if you can implant some of the ideas of where they might go now with some of your content, it seems like you might be marketing down the road, but that's all you can do right now. And it seems like it's going to be worthwhile, so that when that hopefully pent up demand is able to go out and exercise the demand that they're thinking about, you're in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you want them to be envisioning, or I guess imagining themselves in your destination and staying at your inn. And you have to tell that story. And the only way to do that is through content marketing.
I could do some imagining of that myself right now with an 11 and a 14-year-old boy. At
I've got a 9-year-old. So trust me, I understand. Juggling Odysseus and homeschooling at the same time and keeping her on a reasonable activity schedule. It's a lot of juggling. So a vacation sounds pretty darn good right now.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's foundational to marketing. And, you know, we can dig into that a little bit more. But one that's really interesting to me that I've been thinking about a lot lately is this idea of co-marketing. And I mentioned this at the beginning of the podcast, you know, looking around at any location right now, obviously small businesses and independent businesses are, well, every business is taking a hit for the most part, but certainly more so than normal small businesses and independent businesses. And most of our customers, they typically already do business with local providers, right? So that could be, you know, you're going up to Port Angeles, Washington, and you want to go on a bike tour. Well, usually the owner of the inn or the innkeeper knows, you know, who those outfits are and who those other businesses are that their customers are doing business with. And whether or not they have a close relationship with them or not, now would be the time to reach out to them and try to formulate partnerships, right? And the partnerships could include co-marketing. So let's, very basic example would be, there is a winery in your location. That winery provides tours, has a restaurant, does tasting, all of those things. And a very simple thing could be reaching out to that winery and working on creating a package for when things do start to pick up again. And having them market for you, and certainly having you market for them. And that could be things you do on your website, mentions on social, tapping into each other's email marketing lists, and using that information to help put together promotions for when people do start traveling. And I think there's just a ton of different opportunities available for that specific topic. And certainly there's no shortage of local businesses that you can work with.
Yeah, I think it's totally right. I mean, in terms of how hard hit the small business community has been, and it is, you know, what they're experiencing right now. And yeah, I think innkeepers tend to be, you know, I guess what's the right word? I mean, community based. I mean, and I think more importantly, guests want local stuff. You know, they're not staying at the franchise hotel and getting away for a 3-day weekend or whatever, because they want to eat at the Applebee's or whatever. So, you know, so it seems like a win-win situation that certainly innkeepers want to point guests in the right direction of the best experiences. And the co-marketing thing, where Would you suggest monetization of that, or is it just trading promotion? Or what would you suggest that they do when, let's say you've got a restaurant, you're going to recommend them, you know, maybe you help out your guest by getting a discount. Are you expecting something in return usually?
Well, I think I'm really looking at it more from the marketing and promotional side. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly you would have to work out something, right? Discounts, whatever that may be. But the real, I think, power in it is combining both of your audiences to create more brand awareness between those two audiences, which you already know, or there's some synergy there, right? So that's the main piece. And really, as we discussed earlier, helping sell your destination first and all the things that you could be doing in your destination, and then using that sort of avenue to help customers imagine themselves staying at your property and eating at that restaurant. And so I just think if you teamed up, you sort of had almost like a mini co-op budget between the two of you. And this could be very grassroots. It really could just come down to email lists or something along those lines, or adding something to your website or adding a package to your booking engine. Just very, very basic things. And then having two businesses promoting each other versus you just standing on an island is certainly going to benefit both parties involved and the consumer, right? And the guest at that point.
Yeah, definitely makes sense. Any other thoughts on co-marketing? And like you say, promote, I guess, destination first and then property second. Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah, that's the advice that we like to give. And I think it does work. I mean, because people don't really get say, hey, I'm going to go on this trip to stay at this one property. Typically, they're saying, hey, I'm going to go to this destination to do all these things. And now I need to find a property that I could see myself at for the right price. And that's typically the path to purchase for most consumers. And so I think marketing your destination first, the byproduct of that is going to be promotion of your property. But in terms of co-marketing, I think there's some other things, you know, building community through content marketing. Ben Lloyd, our vice president, just did a podcast with an innkeeper in Asheville, North Carolina. And she was volunteering her time with individuals who are having a hard time putting food on the table. And she did that out of the kindness of her heart, but she also knew that there was, you know, the potential to get that message out to more people and introduce her property to more people. And she did a fantastic job of using that information and promoting that across social channels. I would say first and foremost, because as she put it, it's the human thing to do and it was the right thing to do. But secondly, she knew that there was some value in that PR for her individual property in the form of introducing people to her property and also in the form of backlinks to her website, which improves search engine optimization. So I think co-marketing doesn't have to be necessarily with other businesses. It could be with associations, whether they're state or regional or national associations. It could be with organizations that you typically didn't see as complementary to your business, but a lot of times those opportunities are the ones that really impact your business much as possible in terms of the foundational marketing that we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm. And this kind of goes back somewhat to the foundational stuff, but I guess it applies to the co-marketing as well, I believe. If you're going to, we're talking about content and getting content out there and having it ready when it's appropriate, the email, which is, you know, a push concept, how far do you go or how far don't you go in terms of bombarding or not, you know, not enough content with who's on your list, you know, former guests, mm-hmm. potential guests. What's your suggestion of a good balance of email marketing at this time?
Yeah, I mean, every property, it's a little bit different and typically revolves around, you know, how many rooms you have and what your historical occupancy rate looks like and, you know, other factors as well. But I think the good rule of thumb is put yourself in the consumer's shoe or in your guest's shoes. And try to use, you know, that rule as the best way to determine how often you should be emailing out your list. And for most properties, it's 1 to 2 times per month. And I think right now, that messaging that you're sending out should be really more revolve around providing value to their lives versus pushing a promotion. We're seeing a lot of customers who are being fairly effective with this, where they're talking about destination, they're talking about their cleaning practices, they're telling the story of what it would be like to visit that destination and stay at their property, but it's not self-serving in any way. And down towards the bottom, or maybe in the middle of their email newsletter, they're adding in things like, hey, purchase a gift certificate now at a discounted rate, and you can use that when the COVID situation is over. Other ones are rethinking their cancellation policy. So if somebody does want to bet on the future and say, hey, I do think I'm going to be able to take, you know, my beautiful wife on our anniversary trip to Asheville, North Carolina next month, but I'm still a little iffy about it and I don't really want to put my credit card down and pay for it and not get any of that money back if I have to cancel. A lot of our customers are loosening up those cancellation policies and making that very, very, very clear that they can either cancel or they can just move the dates to whatever date works for the innkeeper and the guest. And those types of soft promotions seem to be working well. And I know I'm looking at one right now, planning on taking my daughter to Iceland, and I'm concerned about getting over there and obviously getting back. And I did actually purchase the hotel because, or actually it's a small inn that we're staying in. We did purchase that because they had reduced the cancellation policies for the next 6 months. And so it makes perfect sense. I'm getting a discounted rate. I have something to look forward to when this whole situation it slows down. And I have the peace of mind to know that if it doesn't and I need to change my plans, they're going to be flexible and work with me. So those types of soft offers, if you will, certainly do work. But I think the first thing is don't be self-serving and don't be salesy in those emails. Talk about what's going on in your world. Tell the story of your property. Talk about all the great things going on in your destination. Share recipes, you know, do things like that. That type of content seems to be working right now.
Yeah. And the co-marketing as well, at least certainly in the example of the woman from Asheville, the innkeeper from Asheville, that's something you want to push out and get the word out on. So yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, she's doing a great thing and it shows what she stands for, shows her character. And, you know, she's first and foremost doing what she can to help everybody else. And, you know, the byproduct of that is going to be backlinks to her website and more awareness of her property.
Yep, absolutely. Okay. So you want to talk about, I think your last one was expanding skill sets?
Yeah, skills and tools. I did a podcast not too long ago where I talked about some of the common problems that I see most innkeepers have. And a very basic one was not understanding their analytics, their website analytics, and not understanding how to access them, not understanding what the data means. And, you know, now would be the time. You're not focused on the guest experience. You're not focused on servicing guests. Now would be the time to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to take that online class. I'm going to take a few minutes out of my day to learn a new skill or research new tools that could potentially help my business. And so I really challenge everyone I speak to now that they do have a little bit of free time, to take the time to learn new skills. And I look at it this way, you know, right now, we have more information at our fingertips than we ever have. And I just go back to like my time in college. And if I had the amount of information, I mean, I can literally look up anything, almost anything out there, and I can find a class or find some way to learn about that topic. So like something for me personally is I've always been interested in programming. It's something I've done in the past. It's something I, as CEO, I don't get to do enough of. So 1 hour a day, every day, right now, I take a programming class. And that's something that ultimately is going to help me out when I work with our developers. And that's a very simple example. But for an innkeeper, learn your analytics, right? How are you going to measure your success if you don't understand the key performance indicators and the metrics that are important to your business? And most innkeepers look at, okay, occupancy and revenue, right? Those are the two things that they're looking at. And yes, those two things are ultimately the most important. We're all in this business in our businesses to generate revenue and hopefully make a profit. But when you take a step, you dive down a little bit further, how do you, you know, most guest acquisition strategies now for innkeepers is online. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter is that's how most people shop right now and how they make their purchasing decisions. And so not understanding what your analytics looks like and what those metrics mean and how you performed this month over last month or this month over the same time last year, you don't have a baseline from which to measure your performance. And so I would challenge everybody, whether it's analytics or learning more about content marketing or learning effective email marketing strategies or, you know, signing up for a review app or whatever it is. Now's the time to sit down and start looking at those things and figuring, improving your skill set and improving, you know, your business right now when you have the time, because when things pick up back up, you're going to, I think, I truly believe this, we're going to blink and all of a sudden we're down in the weeds, doing the day-to-day, cooking breakfast, handling guest requests, dealing with cleaning staff, dealing with all those things. You're not going to have the time then. So what could you do today to improve your business? And there's no excuse for, I think, not having the time or having the resources, because you can basically go on YouTube or do a quick Google search and you're going to find the information you need to learn that new skill.
Yeah, there's no, will there ever be, let's hope there'll never be another time like this where, and if, especially if you're an innkeeper, you're shut down. You know, when are you going to have such a large block of time to potentially learn something that could really help you in the future? Probably never, I hope.
Yeah, let's hope so. Let's hope so. Never say never, but I certainly hope so. But yeah, I don't know. You're just not going to have the time like we do right now. And so take advantage of it and learn a new skill. I mean, it could be anything. It could be learning about what tone and voice means in content marketing, right? It could be learning about what are the best times to post on social media, right? Could be learning about Instagram's ad platform. I mean, there's so many things that an innkeeper could do. And I guarantee that no innkeeper, at least none I've ever met, became an innkeeper to become a digital marketing expert. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't understand the basic concepts of it. And even if you continue to use a partner in the future to help you out with marketing your property, you still want to be as aware as possible of what are the things they're doing, what are the overall strategies, and what are the metrics that they're using to measure performance. And so now's a great time to learn that.
Yeah. And even like you say, if they're working like with you all, part of the value you add is, if not the part, is the fact that they don't necessarily want to be the digital marketing experts, right? So you help them with that. You do a lot of that for them. But there's still the need for an understanding, I would think. And there's still going to be things that they're going to want to do on their own that you're not going to be doing for them, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it comes back to all of our customers have assigned an account manager. And account manager is responsible for working with our customers on their overall strategy. So looking at things for on a quarterly basis and saying, okay, well, what are the actions that we need to do right now to improve your performance? And if you're not able to understand things like what's a bounce rate in your Google Analytics and how, why is that an indicator of a particular page of your website not performing as it should, or setting up goals and understanding what those goals mean in Google Analytics. And I'm kind of harping on Google Analytics right now because I just see this as a very common theme among the industry. You're just not going to be able to understand what you should be doing. And so for us to come in and say, okay, here's three things you need to be doing, and here's why, for you to understand that why, I think it's relevant to learn those skills and to have a basic understanding, even if it's a high level of digital marketing and all the metrics involved in it and all the activities and strategies involved in it.
Yep. Always helps to know the basics.
Yeah. And, you know, tools is another thing, right? Evaluate what your tool set is, right? If you've been, you know, your website's built, was last updated 10 years ago, and you don't have any way to access it and make updates to your website, well, now would be the time to learn a new tool set, right? That would be a great use of time. Or if tying it back to, you know, your app, right? If you know that guest communication and recommendations are important to your, have been important to your customers in the past, but you haven't done a great job at it, well, go to your research, learn a new skill, learn about how to do that, see what tools are out there. Now would be the time to be looking at that information, even though you're not, maybe not ready to pull the trigger and add expenses, but now would be the time to be doing that research. And I think that does teach you new skills.
Yeah, we've been talking internally about, you know, now's actually the perfect time for an innkeeper to get Frictionless going, because you have time to put the content in, even though we can do that or we'll help with that. And it, you know, it takes some time and especially to really get good content in there if you want to write some good content. But yeah, the challenge, of course, is the expenditure, you know, to do it. But if you have our app, now's a good time to go back and revisit what you're doing with it and improve any content that needs to be improved.
Absolutely. Yeah, for us, we have a lot of requests for redesigns right now, updates to websites, a lot of requests for us to review content calendars with our customers, a lot of requests for us to start writing for our customers.
So yeah, I mean, there's plenty there, but I think it's really difficult for any hotel marketer slash innkeeper to make informed decisions if they don't really understand the core concepts of the topic that we're discussing. And plenty of ways out there to just, you know, spend a couple of days going through an online class, reading, you know, digital marketing 101 articles to wrap your head around core concepts. And that work that you're doing right now, that knowledge gain is ultimately going to improve your business once things pick up. And so I'm a big fan of learning new skills all the time, and I would challenge anyone in the industry to be focused on that right now.
Yeah, makes sense for sure. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts, either on the three things you can do now or?
No, I think we covered it. I guess, you know, the foundational stuff, the co-marketing and learning new skills are really the three things I've been discussing quite a bit. The only other thing I would say is, you know, take some time away from the news right now. You know, I was just talking to my parents and they've got the news on, they've got their tablet up while they're watching the news, and it's COVID-19 24/7. And, you know, one moment they're freaked out by something they heard, another moment they saw something promising and they're just genuinely worried about it. I would just give the recommendation to everyone to step away from it. Trust that this situation is going to pass. Trust that our industry as a whole is going to survive it and I think get stronger. And focus on the things that you can control right now, which is a lot of what we discussed today. Breathe, take a step back from the news, and focus on what matters. I would challenge everybody to do that right now.
And just maybe to wrap up a little bit, you talked a little bit about how you think things are going to go. And I guess it's anyone's guess, but it seems accurate to me just thinking, I mean, we don't deal on the marketing side at the same level with innkeepers that you do, even though we try to, you know, one of the purposes of the podcast is to learn as much about the industry and bring people on who can help other innkeepers learn. But it seems right that in terms of coming out of this, it seems that people are going to want to go local first, then, you know, then the flying trip. I mean, I would think that just the fact that you're confined in an airplane would be a concern for people until we get beyond that worry about, you know, close contact or whatever. And then, like you say, international, even more so probably just because the United States has been hit so hard. But what do you think in terms of how it's going to come about? Like, I would think that initially, once things start opening up, that the local travel could be hot and heavy pretty quickly. But I don't know, time frame wise, you know, are bookings going to start right away, or are they going to be a month or two down the road once things are opened up in that state or whatever? What's your thought on how this is going to evolve?
Yeah, I think you nailed it on the head that regional travel is going to pick up first. I think that we're going to start seeing good indicators of that in June. And I think end of June, it's going to pick back up. In July, it's going to just continue to increase. That's my prediction. I've got nothing to base that on other than my gut and the data that I've read regarding the subject. But I do think it's going to be a slow ramp up. I don't think it's going to be a sharp spike. But I do think reservations are going to start to trickle in beginning of June, booked for the end of June. And in July, we're going to see a more substantial ramp up. That's my prediction. Now, how about you? What do you think in terms of timeline?
Yeah, well, I just think of it from my perspective, which is, yeah, I think my wife and I, well, it's dependent on how open things are in schools and all of these other things. But I think my wife and I are certainly ready to go next weekend if it was open.
I'm the same boat. I'm in the sub right there with you. Yeah.
Part of that is the fact that we actually had a trip. She turned 60, actually, on March 28th, and we had a weekend trip planned, a 3-day weekend trip planned, and it was right around the time that things were shutting down, so there's no way it was going to happen. But so I think we're both still thinking about that trip, like, when are we going to do that? We have to make it up. But I mean, I hope things come back quickly, obviously, but you're probably right, it's probably going to, you know, ramp up. I mean, it depends on where people are traveling from and how long they're going to stay. You can't plan a week vacation for next week or whatever. It's just not going to happen. Or, you know, far away vacations, you know, you've got to really plan those. But hopefully the local stuff people are just going to want to get away. I'm sure it's the same thing with bars or whatever. You know, there's people just want to go out and they want to start mingling with other people and be human again. So
yeah, they want to get back to life. Yeah. It's like it's been put on hold. Yeah. And that can't last forever. It can't last forever. But yeah, I think the regional travel will pick up end of June, early July. It'll really start to pick up. And, you know, we'll see where we go from there. But I do think the whole situation is going to have pretty significant lasting repercussions. And I think, you know, people are going to be more cautious about their travel and where they stay. Distancing, you know, certainly may last for quite a while. And that's going to impact a lot of our customers in terms of their bed and breakfast and where they're eating and where they're hanging out. I think people are going to be more cautious about getting on that super crowded flight. Even if the rate is low, they're going to be thinking about staying out of major cities, major metropolitan areas, and looking at alternative options, which could be a good thing. And it's just a matter of our customers really reacting to that or being proactive around that and catering their marketing efforts toward that and their business operations. So it's going to change things for a while. It'll get back to normal eventually, but it's going to take a while. But I'm hopeful. I feel fairly hopeful that we're going to start to see reservations coming back end of June and throughout July.
Yeah, me too. Great. Matt, you're the one that, you didn't have to do much today.
I know. I hit record and you guys just wound it all up and went. This was awesome. No, I think we've covered off on a lot. And Kent, really appreciate your insights. This has been fantastic and certainly the type of content that Steve and I have been looking for that certainly is very relevant to innkeepers. And I always ask this at the end, and it sounds like you probably already covered off on this, but anything else to add? Any parting shots here before we take this out?
My only parting shot is we do a lot of free educational material in the form of podcasts just like this, webinars, and then we have something called the Audacis Academy. If you go to audacis.com and click on learn, most of the topics that we cover today there's very, very detailed information about them. So if you're looking to learn a new skill or brush up on terms or anything like that, that would be a great place to start. And yeah, use it. It's free and we're happy to provide it. And we hope that it helps the industry.
Outstanding. And you know what we'll do too, Kent, is we will link to all of these resources here in the blog post that goes with this podcast. So we will certainly push that out for you as well. And Steve, I got to ask you, any parting shots, anything else to add as well before I take us out?
I don't think so. I just, Kent, I really appreciate you coming on and the knowledge that you have of marketing, of digital marketing, and especially, you know, geared towards innkeeping is phenomenal and very insightful for me. And I hope it's the same thing with the innkeepers that are listening. So really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it as well.
Awesome. Great. And this is a wrap for this episode of the Frictionless Innkeeper podcast with Kent Schnepp, who's the CEO of Audacis, which offers a software as a service marketing and technology platform that helps independent hotels to significantly reduce their guest acquisition costs. And as you heard, Kent and Steve provided a deep dive discussion on what innkeepers can do now in terms of developing the right digital marketing strategies for helping to reinvigorate their businesses as the COVID-19 pandemic winds down. And we really hope you enjoyed this episode of the Frictionless Innkeeper podcast brought to you by the Frictionless Guest app. If you wish to learn more, please visit frictionlessguest.com. Once again, that's frictionlessguest.com. And Steve and Kent, thanks again for your time today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Kent.